If we usually call these the big E3 show, what are we going to call this one? Because it's not as big as the...
The medium one.
It's not really
one.
Little, though, because it's bigger. Yeah, moderately sized E3 show.
The bigger little E3 show. The little big E3 show.
The size isn't everything, E3 show.
If the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen, Country, and Video Games. BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed, ahoy hoy, and welcome to this super special post E3 2019 conference breakdown, a palooza, a BRB UK, a podcast-a-thon. Yeah. Welcome back. Episode 347 of BRB UK. I'm Dan. Hello. How are you doing? You all right? Good. Marvellous. Timothy?
Hello.
Did you go to E3 this year?
No.
No.
I
but you did once. You did once, and it's a story we all love to hear. So,
yes.
But if we've got any time left at the show, at the end of the show, Tim, I would love to hear it again.
Good.
Joining myself and Mr. November is, of course, Goldman.
Hi, isn't it great to be here live in LA?
Live in Uxbridge, Slough, and East Finchley.
Close. You just doxed all our information. And, E3. Dan, welcome to the E3 episode of Big Red Barrel UK.
Hey, thanks. It was a bit tricky getting my visa because of the social media requirements, but I'm here.
I was thinking more, this is your first E3 episode with us in, 5 years?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I actually remembered to watch all the videos this time.
Yay!
And also, you guys aren't doing a 4,000 hour long podcast, despite not being there.
Yeah, thanks to work commitments.
Yeah, it might work out better this way, Coleman. You never know.
Yeah, well, I won't kill myself by the end of it, so that'll be nice.
Yeah, don't kill yourself. Don't kill yourself.
Hashtag don't kill yourself, Coleman.
Yeah, that's good. That's just a good tip, full stop.
Just in respect of video game developers around the world, we have gone for a zero crunch approach to our E3 podcast this year.
We are the good guy Nintendo of the podcasting world.
I mean, I'm still be editing this till silly effect, so.
Yeah, good. Right.
It's nice finish the editing, and it seemed much quicker than usual, and then seeing the daylight out the window and hearing the birds sing, go, I've got work in half an hour.
We do appreciate it, even if we do mock you for it, Coleman.
That's
of,
fine.
Kind of.
Well, Tim, you're the only one who's never had any actual experience of podcast editing. You've never had to edit a podcast, have you?
Ah, Tim's doing this one, is he?
Tim, I think that is the, if you ever start blabbing on too much again, that is the nuclear option which Coleman and I will deploy, is demand that you edit a podcast. That'll do the trick.
Get this out by 10:30 on Friday, Tim.
Yep, come on. So most of E3 apparently largely happened before E3 this year.
Thanks to leaks.
Sony weren't even there. They were like, we'll just tell you about it on YouTube, it's fine. I kind of got the feeling it was quiet before the storm year at E3.
It's always going to be a little underwhelming when Sony had already basically said, yeah, we're just not there at all. When the dominant console manufacturer in the industry isn't representing themselves there whatsoever, it's always going to feel a bit lacking overall. No? Like, that was always going to be a thing. Also, I noticed something this year that I've kind of picked up on in previous years, but have you noticed how especially people at E3 have this whole kind of E3 gamer Christmas vibe of wishing each other a happy E3. Oh, I hope you have a happy E3. Oh, yeah, you have a good E3 kind of thing.
What annoys me is that they're saying happy E3 rather than coming up with a rather
Merry
trendy
E3.
Portmanteau. No, right, of happy E3.
Happy E3.
Happy E3.
I don't think it will catch on.
It should.
Unless you work in PR.
It's at least as good as herpes, and that does catch on.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I noticed this year. This is, I think, over the last few years, I've been getting more and more less enthusiastic with the live streams. And this year, I was more annoyed than less enthusiastic because of just the crowd. And I don't know if you guys had the same experience, but watching Bethesda, I heard rumors that Bethesda's audience were drunk. Watching Square Enix, like, just full of Final Fantasy fans just going, absolutely anything.
Yeah.
Like, those two specific were just winding me up.
Was that the one where they cheered a delay in at one point?
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, like, there was a bit too much forced enthusiasm, possibly. And there was also people, like, I don't know if you saw, but the person that said something to Keanu Reeves, what was it?
He said, Keanu Reeves was describing the breathtaking levels, and someone went, "You're breathtaking." He went, "You're breathtaking."
Well, the guy that said breathtaking, he's getting a free copy of Cyberpunk and stuff like that. And it's just like, do you really, like, it's nice, and it's a nice touch, and it's a nice PR thing, but then is it worth rewarding? Like, isn't everyone gonna start shouting out? And anyway, but yeah,
but that's fine if you're a video game company trying to hawk this stuff.
But yeah, there was just a bit too much of that. Like, you could tell a lot of the crowds have been hyped up to be
Tim's grumpy three this year, isn't he?
No, you guys raised the point, and I'm just saying, like, I agree with what you were saying. Like, it was a bit too forced at times. It felt a bit too forced at times, and as such, like, I think did them more harm than good, basically, no?
Yeah, I mean, it's much more of a fanboy spectacle now than it was in previous years. I mean, to be expected, because it's no longer just a trade show now. It isn't just companies going there to sell their wares. It's now, hey, look, cheer at me, like opening a can of beer or something. I don't know, it was ridiculous.
For me, it's not really E3 until you've seen a dancing panda on Ubisoft stage, basically.
I like the dancing panda.
No, but that's like, that's a staple now. If they ever take that away, I will be disappointed. That won't, it won't feel like E3 without it, basically.
The first rule of Just Dance Club is don't talk about Just Dance Club.
Well, if over the last 10 years that we've had Just Dance doing the stuff at on the Ubisoft stage, I don't know if it's been 10 years of them doing the dancing on the Ubisoft stage, but it feels like it, definitely. It's gone from...
Every time.
They introduced that panda, what, 2-3 years ago? But before then, it was just, wow, isn't this really cringy just watching all these people in different coloured spandex come in and dance at these people that just
that
do not...
That hasn't changed.
Yeah, but and before it was the public let in, it was just the... Just loads and loads of press looking really, really uncomfortable. Since they added a panda, though, it's kind of fun. I like it. I'm all right with that.
Really?
I'm on board.
Yeah, I'm happy with the panda.
Like I said, it doesn't feel like E3 until you've seen that dancing panda.
But this was the year that surpassed, because the last kind of, I'm really not on board with this, was weirdly the year of dreams for PlayStation, where they just announced everything anyone wanted to hear, like Shenmue 3, Final Fantasy 7, and Crash Bandicoot. And it was
coming
the point
to
where,
a good epic game stores near you, I hear.
It was the point where they announced Final Fantasy 7 Remake, and it just zoomed in on everyone, like all these people crying in the audience. And like, I just cannot get, I love Final Fantasy 7. I'm glad there's a remake.
I did see one bloke explode in a cloud of his own ejaculate at some point, I think.
But at that point, I was just like, you've lost me. I've been lost by this fan base now. I don't know how to do this. That was kind of replaced this year when people cheered for AIs being added to Fallout 76.
Although, well, it's got to be some form of it. There's things you don't give a shit about. Woo! Yeah.
But if you look, wasn't it? It was NPCs, quests, security patches.
So basically, turning it into a normal Fallout game.
It's like, isn't this just something you stick on the end of a forum, and this is part of your presentation?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what one of the things that amazed me about the Square Enix presentation, though, was that it. I mean, and I applaud everyone being an equal opportunities employer, but it did sound like they would only allow people who'd had some kind of frontal lobotomy to do the voiceover for any of their English trailers. And this is an amazing thing. You can travel into the lands of blah, blah, blah and wield your sword. And I'm doing this for the money.
I mean, everyone's doing anything for the money, to be fair.
Right. But it was pretty incredible. The level of disinterest from the voiceover people doing that. They ought to hire us. We'll sound excited about anything for money. Give me 50p, I'll be excited about, I don't know, cornflakes.
So, behind the scenes, I wrote a full breakdown of all the conferences, the stuff that was announced, the stuff that was spoken about, and then decided, well, that's a lot of stuff for us to talk about in an hour show, hopefully an hour show. Okay. So we're going to pick some highlights out and talk about them instead of running through absolutely everything, which we have tried this in the past, and it always fails because we do end up just mentioning everything. So we've got some specific highlights to talk about.
Talk about specific games and do an overview of the conference as a whole, and then check out, basically. But yeah,
Tim somehow making a summary longer. Well done, Tim, making a summary longer. So I say let's start with EA.
Yes.
Play. Yeah. So once again, EA isn't there doing their big press conference. They are near.
They set up a tent in the car park.
they're near the arena, and they're doing their own EA play thing. They've gone for the style of conference that I don't like, where they're not there going, hey, look at all the cool stuff we've got, and instead gone, hey, we're going to do exactly what they do on the PC keynote that no one particularly likes, and do like a weird chat show format, which I don't know how much you guys stuck around for this, but I watched the Star Wars one with Greg Miller. I was quite happy with that.
Yeah, that was fine.
I watched the Apex one, and then it pulled up all the rest of the stuff that was coming out. I went, I think I'm good. I don't need to watch any more of this.
Yeah, a little bit. Little bit. Like, I mean, I'm amazed you didn't stick around for the Sims 4 Island Living expansion.
I didn't even know that was there until today.
It's there. That your Sims can now go in the water.
Yeah, guys, I took one for the team. I watched the whole thing, basically.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Are you okay? Yeah. Do you need us to send help?
I'm okay.
It's all right. He had FIFA 20 there to dribble over.
To see me through.
So what's different this year in Pig Bladder Ball?
Well, the one thing that I do think interesting is they seem to be... And, well, no, look, Dan, you'll find this at least interesting from a business perspective, right?
All right.
This is something that they've added that seems good, but I'm going to tell you why it's not great. Anyway, right. They're adding the FIFA street type element. So they've had a separate street game before.
I did see a bit of that.
Street football to this. So it's
that
more...
actually looked all right to me, where it's kind of more about movement and kind of finesse rather than just
and
spamming it in the back of the net.
Close control and tricks and stuff like that. It is a bit more technical. I don't know how exactly if they'll separate some of the controls and make it a bit more, give you a bit more in the actual street mode, or whether they'll just transfer those skills between one and the other game. They didn't talk too much about that. They talked more overview about adding street football and what it meant. And they had Rio Ferdinand, who's a good kind of person to represent that side of things a bit.
And just generally a good bloke, quite frankly.
Yeah, like I said. Like
bad at missing drug tests, if I remember correctly.
he's not...
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Oh, sorry, good at missing drug tests. Depends how you look at it, really.
He's definitely a good guy and knows what he's talking about. And the kind of insinuation that he grew up on the streets is a bit... Well, anyway, but yeah.
Well, to be fair, Lewis Hamilton thinks Stevenage is the slums. So, you know, that's a minor infraction.
I grew up on the mean streets of Leon Solon. I don't know what you're talking about.
But anyway, but look, he was a good fit for it and a good guest and spoke about it well and stuff. But yeah, it's a strange addition because, as I said, previously they've had FIFA Street, which was a separate game. And while it seems like they're giving something away for free, my cynical side of me is saying that they're doing this willingly because they don't want a separate FIFA Street game to take away from the foot income of the general kind of, still doing the loot box thing and still rinsing a lot of money off of people and...
No, they're not. They're not loot boxes, Tim. They're blind bags.
Yeah.
They're mystery gift sacks.
They're foot packs.
Yeah. Well, anyway, look, as I said, that's my cynical side of me is going, well, that makes business sense for them to do that and not distract from this. But, yeah, okay, they're adding... ostensibly adding more game, and if you're not paying on that side of things, then you're getting more game for your money. So,
wasn't the initial idea of FIFA Street like a little bit more cartoony type presentation style, or am I thinking of NBA Street?
I think you might be thinking Super Mario Strikers. Was a ball on fire at any point?
Yeah, that's a bit more arcade. But it's a more arcadey football game. That's why I'm saying I'm not sure if they'll have just have a 3-on-3 where you can do the skills that you would normally do in the game and apply and you know have to utilize those more in the environment you're in, or whether they'll actually, you know, it may, that's what I'm saying, it may even play into the main game that they have to put a few more skills in so that they're available in that mode possibly. I don't know. Or whether they'll separate the the controls a bit so that it's slightly different in the two different modes. Not sure.
Although I was encouraged to hear that, you know, there's going to be representation of players from not only the men's game, but also the women's game a bit more this year as well.
Well, that was in last year's game, I think.
But even so, it doesn't just seem to be a one-off. I think it's really great that they're continuing to support that. It'd be good if they had the cover star was a female international for a change. That'd be good.
Yeah, that might be a few years off. Without wanting to go too deep into this, well, I know I've been speaking to a few normal FIFA fans and people that just play FIFA without describing them with any more detail than that.
We're talking about me and Dan are the biggest FIFA fans going.
The game being represented.
I love
in the
pig bladder ball. Anyway,
I love feet and balls.
My favourite thing is when they kick it over the sticks. That's my favourite bit of pig bladder ball.
Oh, strikers and defenders and yeah, running down the
wicket
wing.
Wicketkeepers.
Referee. Goal. That's
goal,
a good
one. Right,
red card.
Inside leg.
Offside.
Hello. Yeah. Something.
Oh, I know all the football terms.
Through this quickly, something you guys know less about, but the Madden stuff was there. But Madden for me is a problem. It gets more and more technical each year, and more less likely that I'll play it. So hey, but yeah.
Ah, Timothy trying to sneak in extra stuff. But something we are all excited about, of course, is Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, which the thing that really impressed me about this is actually how technical sword or lightsaber play appears to be, where you kind of actively have to parry and riposte and stuff like that. It almost reminds me in a really weird way of like one of the first times I ever played Prince of Persia back in the day, where you could have these epic sword fights if you could read what your opponent was about to do, and it was really satisfying to just kind of fend off a flurry of attacks and job them in the face.
And it looks like you've got to be a bit more slow and calculated than you were in, say, Force Unleashed, basically, as a recent example of Star Wars games. But yeah, I kind of liked what they showed. There was a bit of pushback online, or seemingly, I don't know if it's just in my Twitter sphere type thing, but generally Twitter seemed to be a bit negative on Fallen Order. And I was like, that was exactly what I wanted. Like, that looks brilliant. I'm really keen to play. Like, and it wasn't just what they showed, it was like the implication for what that will mean in the rest of the game. I was like, yeah, I'm on board for that. That seems really good.
I'm wondering if it's just in terms of the presentation, because I watched the Xbox stream first and then went back to watch the EA stream. So seeing just seeing the trailer and going, oh, I can't wait for that, and then seeing the gameplay and going, oh, cool, sort of expanding on it. I'm wondering if they just went the wrong way around because they expanded on it first and then showed the cool swishy trailer. I don't know. I don't know if that's got an effect at all.
Yeah, maybe, but like, I don't know. I like to look at the gameplay and the trailer made me more excited. Like, it's, I don't know, like, I don't know if it's just me and I liked the look of what they were doing with it, but for me, as I said, like, a lot of people are like, oh, I hope that isn't representative of the whole game. I'm like, well, no, I hope they didn't show us the coolest bits of the game type thing. You know what I mean? Like, I hope they showed us an ordinary bit of the level. And
they did show us the coolest part of the game, and that's Forrest Whitaker using a grappling hook.
Yeah, son. But, I mean, I think any Star Wars game, it's, the stakes are so high and people have got such ingrained ideas of what they want to see from a Star Wars game. I don't actually think you're always going to get quite vocal detractors about it. And, you know, I was just pleased to see that they were kind of embracing the slightly more tactical element of kind of one-on-one combat. And I think that could make for a fun game if it's done right.
And one of the bits that were pointed out in the Greg Miller interview following as well was that with the Force powers, it's not like grabbing someone, bringing them to you, throwing them away like in The Force Awakens, which Tim mentioned earlier. But I like this idea of kind of using the mind trick and just making them walk into like an electrical pylon or something to take them out. That's really clever. I like that.
Did you see as well, you can stop one of their laser blasts as it's coming towards you and then force pull them towards you and put them in the path of their own laser blasts.
or the ultimate Jedi mind trick, which I seem to be doing on myself recently, is they walk into a room and then have no idea why on earth they might be there and then walk back out again. That is the ultimate way to disable your foes.
That was a classic moment in A New Hope where Obi-Wan's like, you'll walk around the house looking for your keys, but they'll be in your hand the entire time.
Or the old looking for your glasses, but they're already on your face thing.
You're packing at the tops of your legs while you're looking for something.
Curse you, Palpatine, and your evil ways.
But yeah, I'm really excited for this. And yeah. It's out this year as well, November 15th.
Mm. Which was, I think, a bit of a surprise for us all, actually, that it is coming so soon. Whether or not they stick to that date is another thing entirely.
I don't know if people thought they were being a bit clever going for November rather than the traditional October that everyone seems to go for. But there's a lot in November this year, no?
Well, it used to be that November was the big release, and then everything started moving forwards to avoid the big release month, and now... Yeah, October ended up being the big release month. But I'm just glad that they've scheduled it for this year and not 2020 like every game in the world, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, overall, I kind of thought the EA thing didn't seem to create a good impression with people online in general. It didn't seem to wow people. I don't know. I guess, as you say, like they didn't have their big press conference. Do you think that was a mistake this year or not?
Well, I mean, I think part of the challenge was certainly with some of the things they said, there's like, oh, hey, we're trying to connect with the fans, blah, blah, blah. But actually, all they really did was just talk to influencers, certainly in terms of, you know, their promised big Anthem showing, where, hey, we're going to do things right. No, we're just going to talk to a bunch of YouTubers who absolutely love us anyway.
Only joking.
Mm-hmm. So I thought it was a bit of an odd format.
Yeah. It seemed like it didn't need to be at E3.
Yeah, it could have been done with a Nintendo Treehouse style thing.
Yeah.
Well, quite easily. That is more integrated with E3 than it was, basically. But yeah. Isn't that what they were doing? More like the Treehouse thing? Isn't that what EA Play is supposed to be?
No, as in just well, yeah. But they didn't need to be there. They didn't need a bunch of people just going, yeah, you're great, EA. Yeah, I love you. You're the best. Yeah. It could have just been a bit more just to the point.
I don't know. As I said, I think it started on a strong point with the Star Wars Jedi stuff. I think it kind of just fizzled out after that because there wasn't anything to have anyone stick around for, really, kind of thing, no? Unless you were particularly interested in one of those games. But yeah.
Well, talking of not sticking around, if we don't get onto Xbox, we're not going to talk about Microsoft ever, Timothy. So,
what? We're talking about Xbox in this part in part one of our E3 coverage.
Yeah, I know, right? You know, it's like all good plans never withstand exposure to a Tim, is what I've discovered. So, Xbox Project Scarlet with two T's, where you can enjoy frame rates up to 120 frames per second, QPC Master Race going, yeah, yes.
And?
And had that for a while. But, you know, they gave us some slightly... kind of, ooh, look, here's our boffins that work in the lab, and here's a PCB with, like, a big cooler on it and cables coming out of it. It's science. Yeah, we're making science.
I thought that came over very limply. No, it didn't.
I think it was because Sony have revealed their hand, and Microsoft, quite rightly, were in a position where they couldn't not say something about Project Scarlet.
The thing that got me on it, and I didn't realize how much this annoyed me when they did this. They did exactly the same thing as they did for Project Scorpio, the Xbox One X. They just took a load of talking heads and then got them to go, oh man, I love playing games. Don't you love playing games? I love playing games. Here's what I don't like about playing games. Oh, well, if only there's some kind of system, a new Xbox maybe we were working on that could solve these problems.
Hey, what's that you got over there, Bob? Yeah. Is that the new Xbox? Amazing.
Is that a new system on disk?
Have you just solved world hunger using nothing but D-pad directions and an A and a B button?
But then the things that they were talking about, like at one point specifically they were talking about the load times, and there was a woman going, oh man, I hate load times, and I hate when they try to disguise them as an elevator in a game. I can think of one game they did that, and it was released on the Xbox 360.
And yeah. It didn't do it particularly well either, I seem to remember. But
and it was ages ago.
It was. I mean, I think they did draw some eye going, hey, look, SSDs are really quick. And everyone goes, yeah, we know. Yeah. Hey, look, 4K's got more pixels than 1080p. Yeah, we know that. And it was kind of, it did feel a bit odd. But I mean, what I've heard, I think they've got AMD. D processors.
Yes, AMD is working
for
both.
The Zen 2 architecture, which was, I think we were talking about a couple of shows ago, that, you know, AMD have got a really competitive set of processors at the moment. And, you know, if they've scored major wins on probably the PS5 as well as the whatever the next Xbox is going to be called, then that is good times. And those processors are seriously powerful. And they do actually allow quicker communication between components on a computer motherboard as well. So you may see actual real kind of quantum leaps in kind of data throughput, processing power, not only because, you know, things are faster and smaller than they were 5 or 6 years ago, but actually genuinely there's some quite exciting new tech as well, and real-time ray tracing, which will be great next the generation after the one coming up. It will be fantastic.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking the hardware or the actual system they're working on or anything like that at all. It's just it's that announcement style that Xbox now seem to be trying to do. They're going to do this every details. 2 years, and it's like, so annoying.
Well, I think the thing, if they didn't do it in such a self-serious way, I'd almost kind of go, all right, fair enough, you're taking the mick out yourself, that's fine.
You could have easily just done a little splash screen, like a zoom in on the components like they showed later on, darkened the edges, made it look all sexy, did a little, the future is coming, Xbox Project Scarlet, eliminating loading times and all this kind of stuff. You didn't need people there to just sound so patronizing. I can't stand it.
Yeah,
but I mean, I know this isn't underlined, but I'm just going to sneak it in quickly.
Yeah.
The other bit of hardware they announced was the revision to the Xbox Elite controller.
They did.
Yeah.
Which does look a very, very nice bit of kit. I mean, I've got an Elite 1 that is getting a bit old in the tooth. And frankly, that's the best controller I've ever bought, and it will connect to anything that isn't a PlayStation, basically, and is fantastic.
I thought it's you could use that weird thumbstick third-party thing to hook it to a PlayStation.
You could. It's a bit of a pain in the butt, and I have. But I suppose technically you could do it, but out the box you can't. But it's now got extra things like you can adjust the tension on the thumbstick springs, so you can, you know, if
yours.
Yeah, I know, right? Who doesn't want to adjust tension on their thumbsticks?
I was playing Forza last night and I thought, you know what, these thumbsticks, a bit loose.
But no, in some games it probably would be quite useful, and it also allows you to kind of customise it to your own liking. So so that's coming out, and you can charge it in its case. What? Yeah, fire hazards are go-go. It's all good. But one of the things I was randomly excited about was Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Good.
The reason being, just because, not because necessarily I want to fly a 747 in real time from Heathrow to JFK.
But you're getting one.
Well, hey, you know, it's the rich man's Euro Truck Simulator. Is all I'm going to say. But some of the tech behind it is genuinely really very cool. Like their kind of the way that they've used not only satellite imagery but kind of late. I think it was laser scanning certain landscapes to kind of get the real kind of topography of them. I think it looks really gorgeous. I mean, flights, I think it's more of the tech that goes into it. I think, wow, that's a really nice thing, rather than, yes, I want to sit in an air control tower and be told what to do by some spotty twerp telling me to taxi to Echo 3, runway Echo 3-4 or something like that. But, you know, I just thought the tech in it looked really amazing. And, you know, I think would be, for fans of the genre, would be a really, really exciting thing.
I'd like to pick that up.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it would be one of those games where, a bit like Elite Dangerous can be sometimes, you can just go, do you know what, I'm just going to chill out. I'm going to put some podcasts on. Going to put some Kenny G on the radio. I'm going to put my toe separators on and have a nice time. Is what I'm
remember
do.
A guy I used to live with. He, to be fair, it was a bit weird, but be that may. He used to, like, he'd have a stressful day after work and go, "Do you know what? I'm going to go fly to Egypt," and then you wouldn't see him because he'd be flying in real time.
Well, it's far away. Is Egypt far away?
That's very good. But yeah, I can imagine using this in the same vein that I use No Man's Sky. I just like flying around planet to planet, exploring, like just my calm time where I don't really have to focus too much on the game. I can imagine you doing that with Microsoft Simulator, although there is a hardcore simulation element to it if you really want to get into the nitty-gritty to you know, it's literally a pilot's flight tool. So, hey.
But the other thing that slightly took me by surprise, and I'm only going to mention this in passing, is the Forza Horizon 4 expansion, which, you know, there was the first expansion for Forza Horizon 4 was fantastic. It really opened up some great new bits of gameplay. And this is Lego.
This genuinely caught me off guard because I was expecting something.
Lego.
Well, I was expecting something. And the point where it started playing Everything Is Awesome and three Lego trucks start going past, I genuinely saw it. I was just watching quietly and went, ah!
I did appreciate the slight randomness of the Lego goat with its head out the window going, wow, I'm a goat. To a guy in a McLaren, because why not?
And I'm not going to say this has influenced me in any way, but I have just started playing Forza Horizon 4 finally.
Ooh, have you? Ooh, let me know when you're on. We shall go and drive cars together and it'll be exciting.
But anyway, anyone in my friends list who plays Forza, any of the Forza games, I apologise for my driver-tar. He is going to be extra dickish now.
Mate, Tim's even got one.
That's how
now.
I play.
Nice.
Well, Tim's got one. Tim used to play
Forza
my copy.
Horizon. Yeah.
Tim's driver-tar is terrible.
Didn't they? What was the one they had for the last Forza Horizon? It was Hot Wheels, but wasn't it a particular Hot Wheels thing, or was it just Hot Wheels?
No, it was just Hot Wheels. Okay. Big loops
but yeah,
and
so
stuff.
I guess it's no big surprise. The TT Games is based in England as well, so it kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, I don't know. Did it appeal to you as the biggest driving fan, I guess, Dan? Is this something you're going to pick up, the Lego thing, or not?
Well, I've already paid for the addition of Forza that comes with
so
all of the passes.
Whether you like it or not, right? Okay.
I'm getting Lego up the wazoo, buddy. oh look, I'm even checking the Microsoft Store now, and I'm being proudly told that I own Forza Horizon
Excellent.
4 Lego Speed Champions. So I'm going to install it right now.
It wasn't so much the cars and the Lego people and all that was exciting me. It was more so the novelty levels, much like expansion. It just looks fun, and I like fun.
Fun is good.
Mate, I'm Lego goats.
Lego
That's
goats.
All I want, Lego goats.
Driving your car.
Lego goats.
Although, saying that, thinking about it, I was looking at the character creator mode thing for the avatars are crap. They are some rubbish choices.
Yeah,
I think I'd much rather have a Lego person.
Yeah, so which nondescript millennial do you want to be? I don't know. Do I want the one with who takes himself a bit too seriously, or the one who you could just tell, you know, is always taking selfies of himself, or just one who eats nothing but mung beans?
I think I'll have the blonde white guy with the fade.
Hey, that's a car I've got as well, unsurprisingly.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have a minifig rather than all just good-looking young people that all have hair. No bald people again.
I mean, do you know what though? I really think they missed a trick. It would have been cool if you could build your own custom cars. Like if you had little bits, like a front bit and the wheels.
No, you can't do that yet. No.
Well, I don't know. It's installing now, Tim. Give me a minute, Jesus.
All right.
I've still got 4 gig
but
to go.
Start complaining about the thing before you've seen the thing.
Yeah, because you've never done that.
Yeah. No.
literally what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. But something you can't complain about is Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
Officially entertainment's nicest chap.
Weirdly, yeah. It's weird how his career goes from let's make fun of this guy to this guy's great and to wow, this guy's really depressed to everyone loves Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
You can't not love Keanu Reeves.
So Keanu was in town to help CD Projekt Red, or CD Projekt Red, yeah, as he put it, to hawk Cyberpunk 2077, which is a game that I'm actually getting increasingly excited about, because I think it's some of the interviews I've read around E3, actually kind of like the social commentary that's going on in that game is actually quite interesting as well. So
after I really got into The Witcher last year, and Cyberpunk wasn't excited at the initial announcement. God, when was that? 5-7 years ago. The initial announcement for it, and after seeing the big gameplay thing they did last year, more interested about it. And Yeah, it was more so they just showed a trailer and went, oh yeah, Cyberpunk. Ah, that's, can't wait for that to come out. That looks really good now. So, yeah.
Well, I've been looking forward to it pretty much the whole time. Keanu being and adding a role and yeah.
You're on first name terms, you and Keanu.
Well, no, it's just, yeah.
Me and old K-Dog.
Was it Johnny Silverarm, I think they're calling him?
That's
or something
a great
like
name.
That? Is that his name?
That's great. That is amazing. Like it's like Chris Shinyhead is what I would call Colin, for example.
It seems like he's playing a role that's he's a character like they seem glitch out in the kind of reveal that they showed of him, and that people are saying that he's probably not really there. He's in your head, so probably with you throughout the game, possibly. Yeah. So, but anyway, that's interesting enough. I like the world that they're kind of setting up. I did read an interesting kind of not an article, but it was a kind of Twitter thread on Japanese culture and cyberpunk and how they're kind of interlinked and how Japanese culture was shown as a dystopian future for Americans because it was like they were the dominant economic force, and so it was seen as a dystopian future for them to have taken over, kind of thing.
To be fair, that's China are more likely to do that than Japan.
Well, yeah,
if you ask
me. No, but in the 80s, that it was more Japan that was more feared than China, basically. So anyway, but it was an interesting kind of take on that, and that's obviously something that's being cyberpunk is kind of inherently linked with that, basically. But yeah, it wasn't necessarily saying that cyberpunk in itself, what's the game in itself is racist, but that there is overt racist undertones in cyberpunk as a default, basically. But I'm very excited for the game. I do like the look of the universe and the world they're setting up. It's gonna, I think, create some, and seems to be already creating some interesting discussions on that sort of topic and others on Twitter, basically.
Yeah, gender identities being talked about in there as well, quite a bit as well. So
yeah, and there's quite a few things that I think it's going to be a relatively controversial game in that sense, and that's not what the aspect of it. I'm not looking forward to it being controversial, but I am looking forward to it opening up conversations in an interesting way, possibly, kind of thing.
I just want it to be a fun game.
But yeah, more so and more over than anything, it just looks like it's a fun universe and
just
a fun game.
Just be an interesting experience
to
play and a great narrative experience like The Witcher was.
And it looks graphically fantastic, so. And I have already pre-ordered it.
Oh.
So that should speak somewhat.
Oh. How very Tim of you.
Well, other things. Yeah. What other things have you pre-ordered, Tim? Last thing you pre-ordered was a new year. How'd that work out?
Well, no. The last thing I pre-ordered was a Stadia, actually, Dan. And we're
that's
both
a good point.
Doing
I've done
that
too.
Yeah.
So, pot mm-hmm. kettle black.
Yeah. And I don't know about you. There's a few things coming up that we'll probably talk about that's maybe go, hang on a second. What?
Before we jump over, I didn't highlight this, but I just wanted to give it a quick mention. Phantasy Star Online 2, they're bringing that to the Xbox with all the...
To the West for the first
time. Yeah, on the Xbox with all the expansions and stuff available. Not in the UK.
Hmm.
US only, it
seems. Well, they said they'd hope to expand that in the future, possibly, or talk about that in the future. They didn't necessarily say that they would do anything about it, but they will talk about it. But
my favorite slightly ridiculous thing actually at the Xbox conference
the
was
Blair Witch license still existing.
Well, that for one, but also new from the creators of Minecraft.
Oh god, I forgot that existed.
Yeah, more Minecraft. There's the people who made Minecraft still making Minecraft.
Well, it's Minecraft Dungeons. It looks more active and more like spells and stuff going on.
But the thing is, if you say right, if you like, here's a new game from the people who made Minecraft. Don't say that. Say here's a new Minecraft game because they just popped up and went, this is very similar looking to Minecraft. Oh, it's set in Minecraft.
Right, hang on, what's the first word in the name of that? Oh, Minecraft.
Okay,
still
let's,
okay.
Let's back up a bit. It's not a Minecraft.
I know
it's not just Minecraft. It's a different type of game.
Tim, we were just
Minecraft
making a glib point.
Okay, all right,
I was making a glib point,
right.
Tim.
Anyway, but look, overall,
I don't want to talk about menus for 3 hours.
All right, fine. Overall, I thought that the Xbox conference like didn't quite knock it out of the park. It was decent. It had a decent lineup of games.
But that was a holding pattern conference. Next year is going to be when it really
But that's the thing. Like it was more
really
like Halo Infinite. Oh, by the way, that's definitely on the next console.
Halo what?
Infinite.
Halo Infinite.
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 Halo.
Whatever.
Halo in it.
Yes.
But that not being on this console, that was a bit of a, oh, okay. And then,
oh yeah, but that was a no-brainer. Like, blatantly, they're going to have a, if they get some a new Halo flagship title out to sell new Xboxes.
Right. It makes sense, but the comment I'm making is that them confirming it was a bit like, oh, okay, well, yeah, fine. Like, it was, you know, a lot of people thought it might be cross-generational, but I guess it makes total sense to save it for that. I'm just saying it didn't exactly excite the crowd with that information. Likewise, Gears 5, I don't think the Gears universe.
If I hear him one more bloody Billie Eilish quote unquote song as the background to something, yeah. I will shoot myself in the face.
I think it just, you know, it didn't hit as a particular high note for them. I don't think they then had anything like Cyberpunk was good, and getting Keanu Reeves in there was a good, like, you know, PR move and everything. But that's not necessarily unique to their platform. I pre-ordered on PS4, for instance, but. Yeah, like I don't know. I don't think they could have really taken advantage of the fact that Sony weren't there, and I don't think this did that for them. No.
No, what they did, they actually merrily advertised all of Sony's cross-party things quite nicely, I thought.
Yeah, with Sony not having to spend any money. Because the only other thing I was sorry about Outer Worlds possibly, but yeah.
No, we don't have time.
I thought it looked crap. But hey. Carry on.
Nice. Bethesda, they were up. They were also there doing a thing. Bethesda were, they bloody were. And they had a bunch of games.
No, Dan, more importantly, rather than games, they have updates to games.
Oh, this is,
they have security
patches.
What
am I saying? Hey, there was a multiplayer game of theirs that didn't have a battle royale mode. Is that now sorted? So for those of you who don't know, there's a new mode to Fallout 76, the game that everyone loves to hate and hates, just full stop, called Nuclear Winter, which is essentially an 82 player. Not quite sure why that number.
That's as many as they can do before the server
cracks out. Battle Royale mode. Yeah, exactly. It's where you're basically fighting to be the overseer of Vault 51 or something. So yeah, there we go. I know it's got like explosions and stuff.
I'm going with my theory. In like 3 years' time, when Fallout 76 gets patched up the wazoo, it's actually going to be a pretty fun game for a fiver.
Yeah, and then Anthem 6 months after that will finally be good.
We're
going to
have some great time in the bargain bin.
It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. Bethesda's show was a bit of an odd mix
of
stuff.
It seemed very exciting if you were there in the audience. Again, I think they're all drunk. I have no idea. They seemed to love it.
They went mental. Sorry, Tim. Let me do that again. They went absolutely crazy for Commander Keen as well, for reasons that I'm not quite sure about.
I got to admit, before I realised it was a mobile game popping up, I was quite excited just because it said Commander Keen, and me and Kev. So usually the Bethesda segment is me, Kev, and Diomed. So 3 years ago, I think it was, me and Kev were talking about Commander Keen, and then it pops up this year. And like, oh, the 1 year I'm not doing this with Kev. So,
but yeah, like, I don't know. Overall, it was, here's stuff that you already know about, a little surprise we're not going to tell you too much about, and not
much
else.
Some pre-rendered trailers for the here's two things that you do want to know about, but they're pre-rendered trailers, so you won't really care too much. Like Deathloop and Ghostwire Tokyo were enough to hold my interest, but nothing.
I mean, Deathloop, the setup here is what? There's two assassins who are murdering each other again and again and again and again.
It's Assassin Groundhog Day.
Wow, yeah. Fantastic.
I highlighted it as something I wanted to talk about, but it was more of an interesting premise than anything.
Eternal looks good, like it's going to be good Doom.
Doom
fun,
Maternal,
basically.
Yes. It's
Doom Eternal.
The Cacodemon's had a bun in the oven for a while now. Very pleased to announce that Doom Maternal will be crowning its way onto the stage fairly soon. It's going to be a beautiful thing. Beautiful. Wasn't there also a Elder Scrolls Online thing in there as well?
There's dragons.
Dragons versus cats was all I got.
I don't know about you guys, though. I was like, there wasn't dragons in it already? Really?
No.
You went this long without dragons?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, it's a Bethesda open world MMO, so there's all kinds of layers of jank that you've got to get through in order to get anything to work. It's probably getting good soon. Well,
I've heard lots of other people say it's all right.
Yeah,
now, but,
it's okay.
If you like that sort of thing.
It's an okay out of stuff.
Good review, Dan. And yet they didn't show much off about Cyberpilot, and that's nearly there, and they didn't show any other VR projects that were working on, which was a bit disappointing, but
I
hey.
Was ecstatic.
Ghostwire Tokyo, at least the lady for that looked really enthusiastic for her game, made me more enthusiastic for her game.
You could put her in your little pocket, couldn't you? She was very cute.
Yeah, she was.
Come with me, little game dev.
Possible highlight of E3. But other than that, I thought that overall conference thing was pretty...
I could see why people needed to be drunk.
Developer pocket, new from Bethesda, sorry. I had to get out. I was just interested that there was a Wolfenstein VR game that Tim didn't get to talk about because there's nothing about it. It just went, hey, here's a thing.
Well, it's out really soon.
How soon?
Anyway, pretty soon.
Pretty soon. That's pretty soon, Tim.
Pretty soon. I can't.
Tim, just hit me with more facts, why don't you?
Tim, finger on the pulse of modern gaming news.
Wow, I'm really glad you slammed me about my game review, bearing in mind you've got such lightning hot facts at your fingertips.
If you listen for a second, then you'd understand. They are not very interested in it. It's not giving good signals off. I'm not very confident that this is going to be a good game. It's one I'm waiting to see on, but
So they're not keen on it, aren't really wanting to make it. You're not really that interested looking at it, even if it did come out. So might they just not decide not to do it?
I think it's already it's within a month away from release, I think, basically. Oh. So I don't think they have much choice.
If only we had some kind of VR podcast.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes. Anyway, that's enough of Bethesda on board now. Squeenix!
So many Final Fantasy bloody things.
Oh my god. I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, at least 5.
To give them credit, the Final Fantasy VII remake does look good. I was like, okay, you've probably got me back on board again. It looks interesting.
Yeah, it does look great. Although I think there's a lot of kind of diehard fans of it haven't got over their strop about the battle system changing.
I'm actually a lot better with it. It looks more like a hack and slash.
Yeah, I think it looks fun.
But my concern here is that apparently it's episode 1, which doesn't take you past the end of Midgard, which is only kind of introduction. They
has
have extended
Jar Jar
and added
it?
Bits of it, but that's episode 1, and they have no idea how many episodes it will consist of yet.
I'm guessing 10.
Ooh, okay. 10. See, I reckon 3, one for each disc. They should do, but getting that much, if episode 1 is just Midgar. And they're going to keep...
Or not even getting out of Midgar.
Well, and they're going to keep the open Midgar, G-A-R.
Midgar, wait, yeah,
sorry, I heard you both do it.
No.
Yeah, sorry.
If they're going to keep...
Makes me want to say it like Midgard even more, just
there
while
you go. If they want to keep...
Hey, Tim, what's that city at the beginning of Final Fantasy VII?
Mudgard.
Mudgard.
Fair enough, okay. If they're going to keep the point where you get out of Midgard and you've got the open the open map system, then...
Get out of my garden.
I can imagine that's going to be an even bigger chunk of games to take up, so I don't see how they would do that in 3 discs worth.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, I reckon
maybe
5.
They'll go for 7.
A bit too on the nose.
Too cute.
I reckon 5, and I reckon they did say the first episode is 2 Blu-ray discs worth of content, didn't they?
Yes.
Oh god, it's a Dragon's Lair game. It's all pre-rendered.
Well,
Choose your adventure.
That's appropriate to the first game, which was on 3 discs, so they should have gone for 1 Blu-ray more.
And can I just say though, Final Fantasy Brave Exvius is just the most ridiculous name. And again, the voiceover bloke knew how stupid he sounded saying it.
That's War of
Final Fantasy Brave Exvius.
Yeah, then they went deep into Final Fantasy-ness, and yeah, they kind of lost me from 7 onwards.
Bloody basically. Kingdom Hearts was there as well. I still don't get it.
They had the 14 update. They had Crystal Chronicle. I know there's a lot of Crystal Chronicle fans out there. I never got into that series. But then the one thing that kind of piqued my interest is they went Final Fantasy VIII Remastered, and legendarily with Final Fantasy VIII, I've just not liked... I played the heck out of it, but just could not connect in it in the same way I did with Final Fantasy VII. So when they said this is coming to Switch, I thought, oh, really cool. I could actually jump back in this game, give it another try. The trailer looked like arse in comparison to a game that is years older than that one. It was very, like, that's what they came up with. It just looked so janky.
But then, yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, then it kind of, they had a few other highlight, like Circuit Superstar things looked kind of cute, maybe interesting, but not great. But then everything else didn't really interest me very much. I don't think there was anything else on that bill that was particularly popped. There was a few things that I know, like, yeah, fans of Japanese RPGs and stuff that will be pleased by, but generally, yeah, nothing really did anything else.
The big thing, which I accidentally left off the agenda, Avengers.
Oh, well, yes, Avengers.
Sorry. Avengers was in there as well, yeah, I was forgetting.
Yeah, okay. Contractually, they're not allowed to make it too like the movie, as far as I could work out.
That was good. Well, a lot of people are complaining about that.
I was secretly hoping Fat Thor was going to be in there as well, but no.
But yeah, a lot of people complained about it not being in the Marvel Universe, but I actually said at the time they announced it, I'm glad they're doing it, their own thing, because then they're free to do whatever they want within that medium and they can make the best use of it.
Because the way, and again, no spoilers, if it was slavishly adherent to the Marvel Cinematic Universe canon, then they'd be quite restricted in many ways in what they could do with the game.
But exactly. They couldn't kill off characters, for instance.
Yeah.
Tim, but spoiler!
I didn't say anyone about anything. I'm just saying in the game, they couldn't kill off characters.
I'm more interested in the idea of them tying the you know, you have the movie universe and then you have the video game universe. So if it ties into, say, Marvel Spider-Man on the PS4, I'd be really interested in that. And as well, there is reference in Marvel Spider-Man where if you go past the Avengers, swing past the Avengers Tower, it will say, oh, we'll never see the Avengers about. Apparently they're upstate, you know, basically they're in this game is the nod, the West Coast Avengers. And then as well, they did a little nod at the end where it's kind of blink and you miss it, but they went, we've partnered with PlayStation to bring exclusive content, which they didn't say what that would be. And I was watching this, I was showing this trailer off at work, and immediately Rick that I work with then went, Spider-Man's coming to the PlayStation only, I reckon.
Oh yeah. That is a shout, actually. Yes. That is a good shout.
But yeah,
that could be true.
From hands-on reports I've been listening to podcasts about, it's an interesting looking game that is, the demo seems surprising for what it is, considering it's meant to be out so soon. And
ooh,
but the multiplayer co-op thing that they touted isn't very good. But I'm still looking forward to it because
Like,
did I hear a Nolan North as Tony Stark in there?
Yes.
Or was that my ears?
Nolan North
is
Tony Stark. Okay. Troy Baker is the Hulk.
Is Tony Stark.
Hulk.
No, well, yeah. No, that, really. It seemed like Troy Bruce Baker Banner would be a better Tony Stark in my head, but hey.
Yeah.
Then you've got Laura Bailey as Black Widow, and then I forget the other voiceover guys.
Bob from Accounting.
Bob from Accounting is Thor, the Mighty Thor.
But yeah, like,
and
but he didn't sound like Mighty Thor. He sounded mildly disinterested Thor, if you ask me.
A lot of people disappointed they didn't show gameplay, and I can understand that. But I think within the context of what they showed, they got me really excited about the game. I'm looking forward to it. I like what they're doing. I really hope that there's not pushback and the insistence of putting MCU characters in there, because I think that could, like, if you do it as a secondary skin or something, then fine, but don't do it as the primary thing for the game, because I think, as we said, better to have its own established universe, basically.
I want to play this game. Sorry, carry on.
And let's, they also did say onwards, no loot boxes and no other things and lots of other good stuff. But anyway.
Yeah, you know there's a loot part. I don't trust the games industry. Well, we didn't say loot boxes.
No, someone on Twitter, and I forgot who they are, I'll give them a shout out in a minute, but they did point out that they didn't say there were no microtransactions, and I'm like, okay.
And the characters are meant to be upgradable in some form and have different costumes and stuff, so yeah,
which
probably
may or may not be acquired randomly through some sort of object which you could open.
Yeah. at Bamford 38 for pointing that one out correctly as well, but hey.
Yeah.
Coming to Marvel's Avengers, it's FIFA Ultimate Team packs.
Mate, Tony Stark would kick this shit out of Cristiano Ronaldo. That'd be amazing.
Didn't they do a FIFA advert where Hulk was in goal?
Don't remember it.
I remember that being a thing.
Thought in defence, clearly, that's what you want.
Yeah. Anyway, my brain's doing weird things today.
All right.
Ubisoft.
Yes. London. London's calling. I love it.
We're all excited for Watch Dogs Legion, though, no?
The Watch Dogs Legion, yes. That's one where it's you can become a psychopathic hacker grandma.
Yeah.
That's what I'm all about. Mabel's had enough of everyone. She's finally lost it.
I've never been more disappointed with a leak for a Ubisoft game than I have with Watch Dogs Legion, because that trailer, if I didn't know any of the NPC stuff going in,
that would have been into playable characters. Amazing.
That would have been amazing to watch. I showed that off at work, and like a few people that hadn't seen it were bloody impressed. And it kind of took the wind out of the sails, unfortunately, but it's a very good looking game.
It's kind of in keeping with the, you know, with the game. Thematically appropriate.
No, it's in keeping of Ubisoft trying to drum up interest by leaking their...
I don't know. Like, I still think that mechanic... Right, I think they've set that mechanic up well, and I think that it's going to be interesting, and I like the idea of it. I'm just worried that they've made a rod for their own back, because I think it will be slightly more limited than they were alluding to. I like to be proved wrong, but I think it's going to be like... You'll have the archetypes of the bare-knuckle brawler, the guy that can do the drones, and so on and so forth.
And the bloke who sounds a bit like Danny Dyer.
And you'll just have different types of those people, and their introduction mission will just be a take on a mini-mission with randomly generated backstory type thing.
Yeah, I mean, I've got that. You're right, Tim. There needs to be a heck of a lot of variety in the people who you can kind of possess, for want of a better way of putting it. Because if it's basically lots of very similar, very generic people who really aren't that different.
Well, no, I think there'll be variety in those people. I just don't know how well fleshed out the setup of their story will be. And you've got, okay, that was an assassin grandma that they showed on screen, for instance. But will you be able to have another assassin grandma? Will they have to put in checks and fallbacks?
I plan to play Watchdog Legions as only psychopathic grandmothers. That is my challenge.
Will they have to put like checks and balances in where like some crucial characters you won't be able to kill off, and you'd have to rescue them if they get captured or something? Or
apparently not, but
because they
we'll
say permadeath, but yeah.
Seriously, Gladys is going to be going on a breakneck rampage around central London on a mobility scooter. Nothing's going to be able to stop her.
But I really like the general premise, no? Like, I think it looks really cool. The fact that they had not just central London and Piccadilly Circus in the game as well, but like areas like Camden, as we saw. Like, you know, that's our neck of the woods type of thing. And, I was where that bridge was like a week or so ago kind of thing. I mean, like... But yeah, just seeing Camden Bridge and that area, and yeah, I'd be interesting to see how much of London is available to be inhabit as well, basically. So yeah,
and like when they, particularly when they were doing the Piccadilly Circus part, and he was doing a runner, there was points where I'd like to see how accurate it is if it's not just kind of the main areas, because there was points where he was turning off down alleyways. I'm going, okay, the shop's different, but the color scheme's the same. And I know that area. I know the turning he's just made. I've done that turning a million times.
Well,
and it's
there.
It
was a bit like when The Getaway came out all those years ago, and I was an undergrad at UCL at the time, and it was literally where I spend every day. And it was really fascinating to see what bits did get rendered and what bits can't. I mean, Huntley Street, for example, is not in The Getaway, and I was very disappointed by that because that's where my student bar was.
But I don't know how... I like the look of the game. I hope it stays as is and comes out and release, but I just...
But it's Watch Dogs, so Christ knows.
No, but I also... I just don't know how Ubisoft are going to, through the entire PR cycle, maintain that they're not making a political comment out of setting something in a post-Brexit apocalypse, basically. Well, apocalypse possibly overstrong, but...
Yeah, I think they've kind of avoided that backlash because on stage he was saying, you know, the Brexit, we all stand with you, Britain, and all that kind of stuff. So they've made their statement. They just didn't. They might not do it in the game, but they've done it on stage.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone else needs reminding that Brexit is a... awful idea. You know, I think it just goes on.
It's a new Watch Dogs game, apparently, set in London.
They're going to walk off that cliff. Anyway.
That's all right. If people disagree with my opinion, they're allowed to. It's fine. But I think Brexit's the most moronic thing we've ever voted for.
No. I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying it's a moronic idea that we're still going to persevere with out of belligerent idiocy. And anyway, but yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
If we back out of it, are they going to have to patch that out of Watch Dogs?
Yeah, they might do.
It's alternate history where Brexit actually happened. But anyway, it looks really good fun. It looks really funny. They're obviously not taking it too seriously. Definitely going to pick this one up as well. So
I'm having a Mitchell Brothers gang.
I'm having an octogenarian version of the Spice Girls as my mob.
But I don't know about you, considering that Ubisoft were talking about a lot of things we already knew about, one of their biggest surprises got leaked. And they were talking about some game updates, which, as you said, aren't always the most exciting thing.
Shut your mouth.
They managed to have a pretty good overall conference. I mean, they added the Dancing Panda, and as I said, it's not E3 without it for me. But, like, overall, I thought, you know, it was a well-presented E3 conference, basically, kind of thing. And it hit the right notes, had a few nice surprises.
Oh, one thing we do just need to speak about, though.
Yeah.
Uplay Plus.
Oh, yeah, right. That's what I was alluding to earlier as well. What?
And my God, they got the least charismatic member of staff they could find to present that little bit, couldn't they?
They gave someone a poison chalice and she had to take it, I think, was the problem there. Like, who wants to be the person that came on stage and made that announcement?
I don't know. The crowd seemed pretty happy.
They're all drunk after the Bethesda one, mate. They would have cheered for anything.
Happy as well. But but generally, yeah, I just think, I don't know, like, it was a difficult thing to come and present. But coming out, like, it was just, I don't know, they were at the tipping point. Not everyone can have a bloody streaming service. You can't all have your separate streaming services.
Oh, this isn't, it's not a streaming service, situation. Technically.
Yes, but it's kind of a, you know, club account thing where you can get access
which you have to download it. It's not streaming.
Basically.
It's not streaming.
Not streaming service. Okay, but it's their own game as a service separate feed thing.
The Netflix of games model, only without streaming, as we've obviously already
streaming,
said.
It's just download. Okay, but still, like, and then it says, and that will be available on Google Stadia. But they're talking about it being a separate $15 fee, and no, they're very quiet on whether you'll have to pay a separate fee to be on to access it on Stadia or not.
Yeah,
and
of course
I assume you bloody will, but. That I'm like, what? Really? Because didn't Stadia already say they had some of your games on Stadia? How is that going to work? Like, what? I'm now very confused about what exactly my Stadia will be getting access to in the future. If I'm going to have to pay a separate fee to access Ubisoft games and EA games and all these other games through it, then what am I paying the $10 a month to Stadia
for? A select
for,
amount of games. I mean, like,
Destiny!
I the thing I'm seeing with the problem with the Ubisoft Plus thing pass, I forget the name of it, the Ubi Pass. They're saying, hey, you pay your subscription, and as well with the games and all this kind of stuff, you get early access into games, you get early access into the betas and all this kind of thing that currently they offer if you're a member of Uplay that uses Uplay and uses the U Club and all that kind of stuff. Is that then stripped out for the loyal fans? And now, you know, you want that tough pay for it.
Yeah, that's a new service. That's a new service called
FU Plus.
FU Plus. But it's now, it'll probably just have graduations, and it'll be more and more complicated.
Graduations? They grow up so fast.
Of when you
gradations.
Gradations, where of like,
granola.
You know, different levels of when you get access to a beta, making it even more complicated to get access to betas. You know what I mean? Like, it'll be just weird. Like, some people will get access because they got Uplay Plus, and they'll get access first, then the Uplay people, then the rest of the us heathens. And
it's the video gaming equivalent of that Two Ronnie sketch, isn't it?
I don't know.
You know the one, I mean, where it's like he is middle class.
Specify, and they had a few sketches.
The one with John Clay, the one where it's kind of all the different people from different classes looking up and down to each other, that one.
Yes.
It's going to be like that, but with subscription services. It's like, oh, well, I don't pay them £4 million a month, so I've just got to make do with this Minecraft clone or this Minesweeper thing. But, you know, it's fun. I like it, I guess. Two Ronnies, Ubisoft. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. Carry on.
Aside, they did end on two nice notes of, like, Roller Champions looks like it could be quite good fun, and Gods and Monsters look like it could be interesting as well. Like, I like the look of both of those games. No?
I like the look of Gods and Monsters, and it's from the Assassin's Creed Odyssey team, so that's interesting in itself.
I'm hoping it's Assassin's Creed Odyssey Lite, in terms of, you know, I don't need to do a 40-hour RPG and can just wander around and battle some gods and stuff.
There's a few mainstream podcasts that I listen to that they check in and they're like, what are you playing this week? I'm still playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey because this game is bloody long if you want to do everything in it.
Yeah.
And they're a completionist, you know, that kind of thing. Roller Champions, yeah, seems to be going for the esports crowd. It's, interesting looking.
I slightly found that whole presentation a bit cringy, to be honest with you.
I find all presentations cringy at this point, I think.
Yeah, I'd rather they just went for the sports crowd and made a good sports game and then worried about esports afterwards kind of thing. But hey, yeah. But anyway, I like the look of both of those games. They both look interesting.
Jolly good. Right. We're running out of time. We've still got to talk about Nintendo. Nintendo.
I'll knock off one of these super quick then. The headline of the show, they announced The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2. Very exciting. Had no idea they were even going to do that on the way in. Looks like it might be kind of more of the same in terms of that Majora's Mask style, where they take the assets of the first game and mix them up into this new title, which is why there's quite such a big turnaround from the first game to the second. Very exciting.
Although I did notice in a lot of these presentations, and I think Nintendo did it a couple of times, where it's all they would say was that there's this game, it's in development.
Yeah. I mean,
that's enough to get those fans very excited, though. You know what I mean? Like, don't need to tell them much else. I think the game that myself and Dan were most looking forward to, Luigi's Mansion 3.
Oh, this looks so good.
I'm interested.
I don't know if you watched the Nintendo Treehouse stuff they did afterwards as well, but they showed...
I didn't have much of a chance,
They showed two levels of gameplay without like showing you the solution to the puzzles. They kind of showed the kind of setup and walking up to them and like everything, the combat and stuff you did to get there, but then they didn't show you the solutions to the puzzles. And one just to show you the different kind of floors in the hotel that they're showing off, they showed off like one level that was kind of medieval knight theme type thing, and another level where they had like different TV studios, and some of the puzzles involved you like being sucked into the TV screen and coming out of another screen somewhere else, basically.
As it's just something that's just irresistibly charming. Anyway, that's what I found about the previous Luigi's Mansion games, and this just looks exactly like more of the same. I mean that in the best possible way.
See, I've never got into them, and this looks lovely, and I like the idea of the four player mode as well, but there is something that's kind of sticking in the back of my head that's kind of unsettling about this game, and that's the addition of Gooigi.
Gooigi!
Gooigi, I'm all for Gooigi.
What is Gooigi?
Gooigi.
It's like an ectoplasm version of Luigi that can allow you to like get through grates and do like get in places that Luigi can't get. But you can also use it as a two-player variant as well, so you can play like co-op together.
I don't like the splitting animation. It looks like he's pooping out this goo.
Well, it's coming out of his...
Pooigi, is what you say. So what it is, it's Pooigi. Is that your concern?
It just doesn't... Nothing looks right about it.
Yeah, they added some other mechanic as well, where you've got like a pull string thing that you can plunge onto things and then pull stuff about. So that's new for this game and means you can, yeah, pull stuff out of the way and get to hidden areas and stuff. So that looked like it's going to be a fun mechanic to mess around with. The only thing I'll say is it's still called Luigi Mansion 3, and the first two games were set in a mansion, so that made sense. But now it's in a hotel, so...
Yeah, but, you know, it's a franchise,
isn't it? What
about
if they called it Luigi's Mansion 3, colon, it's a hotel now?
Yeah.
Also Luigi.
They were so insistent on calling the last one Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon to get away from the 2 thing, but now they've gone with the 3 thing. Anyway, but yeah. But yeah, I love the look of the game.
Well, there was a period where it wasn't cool to put numbers in your titles because people go, hey, I'm not sure I should play...
I didn't play the first one.
Yeah, I'm not sure I should play the second one without playing the first one. And as the numbers go up, the idea is you lose more and more people off that fan base. Now it's cool to bring the numbers up because they realize by changing the titles, they were losing their big mainline players.
Well, also it gets... increasingly difficult to know where the hell they are with things and what's going on with them if you don't have numbers as well.
Can you imagine if, like, you came round to mine and there was a green version of me sat down doing the editing? Like, who's that? That's Gooman. He's Gooman. He's doing the editing Gooman. Now.
Like, are you saying that wouldn't be good for everyone apart from Gooman?
I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about getting a Gooman.
Get yourself a Gooman, mate.
I was going to get a bloke who looks a bit like me and paint him green. Willy Cavalero with some glasses on. Good.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, and like, I'm still excited for Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, the Black Order, to give it its full title.
Can't wait.
But I don't know, like, I don't know why this is getting more love on, like, on the internet and from Twitter in general. As opposed to, I guess it's showed gameplay, so it gets a bit more credibility.
There's that, and it's part of a big series that people mm-hmm. like, and they've been wanting to come back for a long time. And they put a number in the title. Get your hardcores back.
And also Avengers.
Yeah, Avengers.
Just Marvel, generally. Anything Marvel
but
in it.
Did you notice at the end of the trailer, they snuck something in there?
Buy
the expansion pass now.
Gooigi.
No, they snuck in a buy an expansion pass thing, but they did have.
Like that.
They showed X-Men and Fantastic Four and something else, but yeah. Oh, and Marvel Knights,
good.
Which means I had to buy it because then I'll probably get access to Punisher. So,
Danny, you're also thinking of Marvel characters that you can call Goo something.
Yeah, a little bit.
So I'm going to jump in with a joke here. I've got nothing.
Gook Cage.
Rocket Raccoon.
Raccoon.
Rocket Raccoon? Really? That's the best
joke. I am Goot.
Goot.
Smash Brothers. Wow, there's loads of Smash Brothers.
There's not loads of Smash Brothers. There was two trailers for characters, and I was very happy. The first one wasn't too bothered about, but it was a very cool-looking character, and that's the hero from... I've completely blanked on the name.
Dragon's Quest.
Thank you. The hero from Dragon's Quest, along with other characters from Dragon's Quest as different character skins by the looks of it. But then the other one, they did a trailer where there was Donkey Kong hanging out with K. Rool and Diddy Kong, and then they look out the window and, oh, look, there's the shadow of Banjo and Kazooie, and then it was Duck Hunt Dog and Duck, and I was laughing my ass off at that.
Yeah,
but then they actually revealed Banjo and Kazooie, and I went, that was a beautiful, just beautiful moment of trolling that you've ruined by actually delivering on a promise. But Banjo and Kazooie
But that was the way to do it. That was great, I thought. It was really funny. Like, I don't care about it, and I thought it was really funny.
It would have been even better if they're like, okay, it looks like it's going to be Banjo and Kazooie. And they went, it's actually Duck Hunt Dog. Anyway, here's Ukulele. That would have been brilliant. Yeah, but anyway, both characters that look like they're going to perform very well, so I'm looking forward to picking these up.
Gamora!
It's okay. Just very quickly as well, I won't go on about it too much as I didn't underline it, but Astral Chain looked quite cool and my type of game and Platinum Games game, so looking good.
Stuff! I forgot what I was going to talk about. I forgot to highlight it. No More Heroes 3, finally confirmed.
were you pleased about that? You got your beam katana
back. Someone's
I was
happy
so
about
excited
it.
Because they did it and it looked like...
Shaking your beam katana.
It looked like some weird generic excited. Mech game, and then all of a sudden, there we go, it's No More Heroes 3. And I was like,
No More Heroes 3!
Well, happy with that. not the game I have, the good one.
Also, was it just me, Was this a weird place for Empire of Sin to be announced as well? A Romero game by the looks of things? And based in like...
Because when you think Nintendo, you think John Romero.
Yeah, John Romero and like gangster era, well, 2030s era gangster stuff, mobs.
John Rotundo. Like,
no, that's not where I thought that would go.
Oh, and whenever I think Nintendo, I also think medieval fantasy setting humping things to death in the forms of Witcher 3 as well. There's lots of...
I'll admit, kind of tempted by that.
Yeah, I am as well. I'm like,
well, I can put it on the loot. Easy to crack one off, probably.
I might wait for that to go cheap before I pick that up. But
yeah, I'm not sure how just technologically that's gonna be that's a big ask for the Switch.
Well, I'm assuming it will be all downscaled and stuff to use it, but using it on a handheld, you know, it's still getting enough out of the game and finally being able to beat the game. That'd be pretty cool. The only thing is, much like when Diablo 3 Ultimate Edition was announced and I got to try it and I was really excited by that game coming out, they then launched it at, what was it, £55? £60? Mm-hmm. Something like that. They're going to do exactly the same thing with The Witcher, and then I'm going to lose all interest and it's never coming down in price.
Yeah, that's why I say might wait for
like
that
when
one.
Diablo, they went, hey, Diablo's finally gone down in price. Oh, $29.99. Cheers, guys. I bought it for a fiver on the PlayStation with all the content.
It's still a corking game, though. It's a corking game on the Switch.
I know it's a corking game, but I just don't want to spend ridiculous money for something that I got at much less money, you know? I recently picked up all of The Witcher 3 and the Wild Hunt and all the expansions and DLC bits and everything, and that was, what was that? That was £10? £9.99.
$9.99.
By Grab, I will just mention, I had literally no interest in Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening until I saw his little face light up when he caught a fish. he just looked really cute. I was like, oh, that dog's kind
of
cute.
I know I'm going to get that because I used to play the heck out of the old game when I was a kid. So just for nostalgic purposes. But apparently the demo is so close to release as well. The demo that they've been showing off at E3, there's reports coming back that it does not perform very well.
Oh dear, really?
That could be a demo problem rather than a... Yeah.
Could be a heating issue and... Yeah, as we discovered at E3 last year, games that are left out for a very long time tend to not perform as well. Like Starlink didn't do very well on the Switch when I played my version. Then when we came back, we found it played very well, and it just turned out that the unit was overheating. The Nintendo section, by all means, is very, very popular and has very large queues going to it. So yeah, they probably just rammed and they'll get to restart the consoles very, very often. So it could be a result of that. We'll wait and see.
But it does look awesome. It looks so awesome. Mm-hmm.
And I think overall Nintendo had like a good, like for being the people that pulled away from E3 the first of all, they had a very good presence at E3 feel type thing. No, you felt like they were there, you felt like they were representing E3 reasonably well and representing them and doing a good job of representing themselves at the same time. New Bowser guy, obviously
Doug
not,
Bowser, that was brilliant.
Not, they had some
that
fun
was awesome.
With him. I don't think he's quite as fun yet as Reggie was, but no.
I tell you what, I don't think he's a great actor, but at least... Hey, not that Bowser. This Bowser. Me. I'm the new guy who's not Reggie.
It's not exactly like Reggie knocked that out of the park first time, though, either. Like, I'll give him a bit of time, but he's a hard act to follow as well. Right,
I thought it was great. It was a very cute segment they did.
At least
and he did well, I thought.
Well. Yeah.
Hey, and Bowser scrubs up good with that tie, doesn't he? Bless him.
Yeah, you look good. I want to see Bowser in the boardroom in a game. Like, I want to see him in some sort of sim where I'm evilly controlling businesses.
I kind of want to see...
in the Mushroom Kingdom.
No, I kind of want to see Bowser in a corporate cubicle, and his cubicle, like, next to him is Donkey Kong, and they're just there with their red ties on. Just doing a call center.
Well, I'm glad he didn't go for the cuffs as well, because that would give him a slightly Chippendale look, which I don't think they really want to go for.
And then we're back to the Bowser weird erotica about Bowser again.
Hey, dude, it all comes full circle.
Yeah. Indeed.
Right. I think we're running out of time, so we probably ought to wrap things off. Wrap things off? What? Up.
Shall we finish with the highlight then?
Let's finish with the highlight.
Go on then. What's your highlight, Dan?
My highlight. People cheering at the most inane crap. The realization that these are the end times for humanity.
Dan, just give us a game, goddammit.
No, seriously, that's the thing. That was my highlight. Just what? No, all right, okay.
All right, what's your game that you're most excited by?
Cyberpunk 2077.
There we
yeah,
go.
Yeah, I think I have to say that as well, because that's the one I've pre-ordered, basically. In terms of surprises and things that I'm definitely interested in now, I'll go with Legion. What's the name? Watch Dogs Legion.
Watch Dogs Legion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I'm definitely picking up day one now kind of thing, and I wasn't expecting that to necessarily be the case.
I think it's a toss-up between Watch Dogs Legion and Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. But...
Yes, that
looks
good.
You forgot to mention a couple of games there, Coleman.
What was that? I said it's a toss-up between the two, and because one's, I don't know, because one wasn't technically at E3, I guess I'll go with Watch Dogs.
Well, that's it. That's it. E3 is done for another year. Done.
See?
Done. Get out of here, E3.
4 hours.
Yeah. But we do have to do one little housekeeping, and that is to remind you Tuesday's Tuesday.
And this Tuesday, as we do each and every Tuesday, we do an event called Tabletop Tuesday.
Sacrebleu.
Which is in the Loading Incroyable. Bar in Dalston. And each and every week we have a different feature game, usually a board or a card game. And if you play that game that evening, you have a chance of winning a copy of the game at the end of the night. Now, I did say that last week we'll be playing Cops and Robbers for the rest of the month, and I am delivering on that promise, I have to say. Last week was How to
Rob
a Bank.
Are you running for Tory leader or something?
I can actually do
things.
That's
a promise
that
I'm going to deliver on.
Yeah, like How to Rob a Bank is a silly little kids game that we played last week and was a hell of a lot of fun, went down really well. Everyone loved it. It was just a really good little game. And this week's game looked like a real corker as well. We are turning the tables. We're going from robbers to cops. This week is Chronicles of Crime. It's a really highly rated game. It has an integrated app that helps you do like all the interviews and go around people and makes it so that there's ever-expanding content. You don't need to like add stuff to the game from what you already have. But it also has a VR component, which you know I'm going to be pleased about as well. You can actually use part of the app in a VR way as well, basically.
I've never been so excited.
So you might not like it, but it is a really good game. Check it out on Board Game Geek. I think it's got a rating of like 8, which is very, very good for them. And yeah, like it's... it looks like a really good, fun game. I'm hopefully going to get a chance to play it this weekend, so I'll be more informed to play it to help everyone learn it this week. But yeah, as we alluded to at the start, kind of if you come along and play this game this week, you get a chance to win a copy as well. So it would make a fantastic prize for someone to go home with this week as well. Yeah, so in case you don't know, there are more details on the top left-hand corner of bigredbarrel.com, or you can join our meetup group, search for Tabletop Tuesday on Meetup, and that'll be this Tuesday in the Loading Bar in Dalston.
That's Tabletop Tuesday on the 18th of June. Chronicles of Crime, Loading Bar in Dalston, London. Do you think they'll stick it in Watch Dogs 3 Legion?
Why not?
Oh, that's an interesting thing. Yeah, we'll have to try and get Jimmy on that, innit? Let's get loading actually loaded into the game.
We don't have shout-outs because I was busy, and also I knew it was going to be a long show. So instead of shout-outs...
And also, there are going to be no more iTunes shout-outs because iTunes is no longer a thing, apparently.
What?
Yeah, Apple are getting rid of iTunes.
But the podcast app?
Yeah, but it's not iTunes, mate.
Well, all right, okay.
We're going to have to say, we're going to have to come up with your listeners. We need a new name for the iTunes section of the iTunes.
Well, we'll work this out in the future. Anyway.
Oh.
So I will say, in lieu of shout-outs, I'll try and get that to return next week when I got a bit more time to put that all together. But I will say, if you've got some suggestions as to what was your favourite part of E3, what you would change about it, what was missing that you want to talk about, then
Sony.
Get contact with us. You've got... all right, not just Sony. So bigredbarrel.com, you can get in contact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/bigredbarrel, and on Twitter @bigredbarrel. And also on Dan's sexy Discord group of Big Red Barrel.
We have sexy times.
Yes, which if you want to access to, I believe there is a link on the front of bigredbarrel.com.
Indeed there is. There's lots of destiny going on, as always, because I'm involved in it. So yeah. There we go. Cool. Right. Well, that, ladies and gents, is your lot, I think.
Good.
So we're going to get out of here. So without further ado, I've been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I've been breathtaking.
Yes, you have.
No, you're breathtaking. No, hang
you're
on.
You're breathtaking.
You're breathtaking.
Yeah.
Tim?
Neither of you are breathtaking. Sorry.
What a... Aww. Wow. Jesus, man. Talk about... God, I was just on... That was just mean.
That was...
Just cold.
That was more underwhelming than a Bethesda press conference.
It wasn't that underwhelming.
You're underwhelming.
You're underwhelming.
I think we can all agree we're underwhelming.
Underwhelming.
Anyway, we're going now. So thank you ever so much for downloading us. Hopefully we'll nestle in your head face again next week. And until next time, dear listeners, doodle bye.
Your ears are quite welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard. Why not roll on over to BigRedBarrel.com for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.